God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, I am very honored to be able to share the word with you today. You know, I just want to thank Pastor Katie and Pastor Tim for such a wonderful opportunity. And just, you know, I am so blessed to be able to stand here. You know, that song, it always gets me because I just think back to where I came from. And I don't want to cry, but just like so many people coming in today, if you're a first-time guest, you made a good choice today.
Yes.
You know, the first time I came here, I really didn't want to be here. I was scared to be here because I knew that God was here. And I didn't really know that, but there was something in me that knew that this was different.
Yes.
And, you know, I just think back, it's only been a few years, you know, it's been 8 years, and that's really not a lot of time. And God has completely transformed my life. And I'm so grateful for my pastors, Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie, and all that they've imparted into us and sown into us. And so it's such an honor to just be able to share the word with you today. Amen. So I'm so, so grateful. So I hope you're hungry. God has something good for us today. I'm going to talk to you this morning about our flesh versus the spirit. Because God has a place where he wants us to live and walk out of and a plan. And we all start in the flesh. And so the goal is to move from the flesh into walking in the spirit and having that be our way of life. Amen?
That's right.
And so we're going to start off in Genesis chapter 2. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So awesome that our pastor's in Brazil right now. Glory to God. That's exciting. So exciting. You know I've been so blessed by our pastors. I'm glad other people in the world are going to get blessed by our pastor too. Amen. We get to share that. It's so exciting. Glory to God. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 15. Glory to God. It says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it." So the first thing, we know this account. Most of us are pretty familiar with the creation account, how God created man in his image and his likeness. And the first thing he does is he gives him a job. So if you don't work, just know that it's a blessing to work. Amen.
Yes.
And so he gives Adam a place to be, a place to work. In verse 16, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat." So we see at the beginning of creation God's plan. He gives man a purpose and a plan. He provides for him. He gives him a full supply. And so we're able to kind of see a picture of what God wants for us because this was the original plan. Looking at verse 17, it says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat, you will surely die."
Yeah.
And so right here we see that God says, okay, here's your provision, here's your job, here's your purpose, but this one thing, don't do it.
Yeah.
It's not good for you. And you know that word evil right there? It doesn't mean evil the way we think of like Halloween masks and scary, you know, boogeyman or whatever. That's not the word evil. It means natural. Of good and natural. Okay? And so he's saying, listen, I've provided everything you need. I have a plan and purpose for you. Here it is. This one thing, don't do. Because it's not good for you. And if you do it, it's going to cause you to die. You know, and not just like drop dead, but die spiritually. And he doesn't want him to do that. You know, and so that's our picture of what life is like for us.
Yes.
You know, and in verse 25, we're going to just jump down a little bit because in between there, he decides to make Adam a wife. How many men are grateful for their wives?
Amen.
That was so weak. Aren't you glad for your wives? Come on. Don't make me have Pastor Tim come back and smack you down for not being excited about your wives. Praise God. So let's try this again. So In the meantime, God makes Adam a wife, and all the men are grateful. Much better. Okay. Verse 25. And they were both naked, man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And I thought that was really interesting because I just will be real honest with you, I definitely don't want to be found naked with any of you. That would be super embarrassing, super awkward, and I don't want to be found there. But they were unashamed, which means they were more aware of the presence of God. They were more aware of spiritual things than the natural things. And that's what God intended for them from the beginning, that they would be more aware of God, more aware of the Spirit, more aware of His things than the things right here, the natural man. But let's see what happens. We're going to just keep on reading. It goes into Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, God has said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And in my Bible, it has a question mark. And isn't that the way of the enemy? Isn't that the way of the enemy? You know, how many times have I called Pastor Katie and said, this is going on in my life? And she's like, it's a question, which means it's not from God. You know, because he does that. He brings suggestion. He brings thoughts. He brings, did God really say that? Is that God, what God said? Yeah, that, and she answers. She says, the woman says in verse 2, she says to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree, of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. And doesn't that what he does to us? God's not really going to pay all your bills. God's really not going to heal your body. God's not really going to give you that thing that you've been believing in for. He doesn't really mean it, does he? Right? Isn't that what he does to us? You know? And so what happens with Eve right here is she questions that. And so in verse 6 it says, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. So she took the fruit and she ate it and she gave it to her husband. And so isn't that the way of the world? The enemy brings the thought, well, your church isn't really that great, is it? The church down the street sure looks pretty good, doesn't it? You know, their youth program's pretty awesome, isn't it? Maybe you should go there. Doesn't it look real good? Doesn't it look real appealing? And next thing you know, you're going the way of the enemy. Well, what happened? We all know what happened to Adam and Eve. They fell. And the next thing, when we pick it up again, the next thing they notice is that they were naked. All of a sudden, they're very aware, I'm flesh. Oh, man, I'm flesh. What happened? They weren't ever supposed to know they were flesh. They were just supposed to be so aware of God that it wouldn't have mattered that they were flesh. And that's what happens to us. You know, maybe that perfect job that you've been waiting for that has all the benefits and all the great pay and looks so perfect comes along, but they want you to work on Wednesday night and they want you to work on Sunday morning and they want you to travel out of town when there's guest ministers here and they want to take you away. And you're like, but it looks so good. Well, so did the fruit. Yeah. She said, it looked really good. Yeah. It looked really good. I really wanted to eat it. And it was going to profit me. It was going to make me wise. So why shouldn't I eat it? Right? That was her justification in it. And don't we do that? Don't we do that? Aren't we guilty? We've all done it at some time or another. Well, this looks really good. This looks like it's probably the better thing because it looks good. But is it God? But is it God? And so many times, it's not that he's trying to keep something from, you know, it's not that he's trying to say, no, you can't do that. No, you can't do this. Here's your laundry list of things. Don't do them. Don't do that. No, he's trying to preserve them, to protect them. You know, and at the end of Genesis chapter 3, he actually removes Adam from the garden, and he puts guards there, guarded angels, to make sure that man can't get back in. Why? Because there was another tree, the tree of life, there. And if they would have eaten of the tree of life, they would have remained in their natural state forever. And God said, oh, dear Lord, they don't want to stay in the natural forever. I didn't even want them to know they were flesh to begin with, let alone stay there forever. No, that would be awful. I don't want to do that to them. And I'm so glad. Aren't you glad? Amen. Amen. I don't want to stay in the natural forever. I'm so glad that, you know, this carnal life will pass on. And I don't have to remain in the flesh forever, because I know my biggest battle is with my flesh. You know, the flesh is, you know, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, that's what the Bible says, and that's so true. You know, you want to get up to pray, and next thing you know, you got to go to the bathroom, and you need something to eat, and the phone rings, and then you got all this other stuff to do for your flesh. You know, or maybe you want to come to church on Sunday morning, and maybe you're not always faithful. Why? Because all of a sudden, Sunday morning, all kinds of stuff comes up. The weather's nice, I didn't get a chance to mow the lawn, and, you know, well, all my friends are going someplace, they're having a cookout, they're having a picnic, I should really go to that. All of a sudden, everything's coming against that. Why? Because the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And so everything will come to try and entice our flesh away from where our help is. Amen? And so we're going to look at this because, you know, it's really easy to talk about, but we have to learn and see how we do that. How do we choose things of the spirit over things of the flesh, and why do we do that? And we have to, you know, in that song it was talking about how we have to know that he's constant. You know, the more we know him, the more we get to know him, it feeds us, it changes us. You know, and so this is our help. The first help is going to be coming to church. You know, hearing the word, getting taught the word, changing our mind, having our minds be renewed. Amen. Go ahead and turn with me over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is going to give us a good look at God's expectations of how he wants us to walk and how he wants us to live. It's real easy to live in the flesh. You know, how many of you our parents or were a child once, or, you know, everyone. Children are a perfect example of carnality, you know, perfect example of carnality. When they're hungry, they cry. When they're tired, they cry. When they don't get what they want, they cry, right? They're very carnal. If you just want to see a little picture of carnality, just look at a baby for a couple minutes. They're super sweet, they're super cute, but they sure cry awful loud. And they're just letting you know that they're carnal. There's no waiting, there's no, you know, they aren't trained to, you know, just be patient. No, they're like, I want it now. Give it to me now. And that's, you know, so many times that's how we are even as adults. We want everything our way right now, the way I want it. You know, I don't want to wait for anything. I don't want to be patient with anybody. But that's living carnal. And if you're already in Romans 8, look at verse 8. It says, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
That's right.
So if you're just walking in the flesh, if you're just walking in the natural and you could care less about spiritual things, you could care less about what God wants, that's not pleasing to God.
Right.
It's not pleasing to God. We know that, you know, Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the only way to please God is to live a life of faith. Well, this tells us that if you're living in the flesh, it's not faith. It's not faith. Flesh and faith are not the same thing. They're enemies against each other. And so we're going to take a look at this. If you go up just a couple verses, I'm going to pick it up in verse 5. You know, the first four verses are talking about the difference between the law that we've been redeemed from and the law of spirit and life. And so, you know, the law of Moses was given to let man know that he needs a savior. You know, that he's not perfect. He's never going to make it on his own accord. You know, the Bible tells us over in Romans chapter 3 about every man has fallen short. Every man. There's no one exempt. No one can say, well, I don't really need Jesus because I've never, ever missed it. You're a liar. And now you've just missed it. Because we've all told a lie. We've all, you know, said something we shouldn't have said. We've all act ungodly. Even if it was just for a minute, we all did it. We all participated. So we've all disqualified ourselves from just being able to walk right in and stand in front of God and saying, here I am. He's like, wait, you need Jesus first.
That's right.
You know, we need him first. And so, the first couple of verses of chapter 8 are just telling us about the difference between that and that we need him. And so in verse 5 it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." You know, a good example of this is we have the Dufresne meetings coming up. You know, they're going to be here for almost 2 full weeks. And Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie and the staff here, they've made great efforts to have them come. You know, and so they're sacrificing their time and their energy and their prayers to get them here. Finances, you know, and other leaders of the church are all participating in that. And then there's other people that are like, Dufresne meetings, oh yeah, they announced that, but I got stuff to do. Well, then you're minding the things of the flesh and not the things of the Spirit. If Sunday morning comes along and you'd rather go golfing, like Pastor Brad mentioned, instead of being in church to hear the word, you're minding the things of the flesh and not the things of the Spirit. You know, and so we've got to be guarded about that and realize that and recognize that. If you've already made plans in your heart that you're not coming to these meetings, you need to get that right. You know, and it's not because I'm trying to boss you and tell you what you should do. It's that we want to be spiritually minded. You know, and so many times we'll have guests, you know, Pastor Tim and Pastor Kay will bring guest ministers in, and it's for our edification. You know, we know over there in Ephesians, we've heard Pastor Tim talk about it before, that Jesus gave gifts to the body for the perfecting of the saints, which is us. We need all the different gifts speaking into our lives and teaching us and transforming us and changing those things so that we will grow into mature Christians. And so if we're not here to receive from those offices, we're kind of like missing something. You know, our body's not whole, it's not complete, because we haven't got imparted to from all the different gifts. If Jesus only wanted us to just have a pastor, he would have only just given a pastor. But he didn't. He gave five ministry offices that we need to have feeding from in order to be complete, to be mature, you know, for the perfecting, which means the maturity, you know, the maturity of the believer. And so I don't want to be a child forever. I don't want to be immature forever. You know, I need all of those different offices to come and speak into my life. You know, and so many times we just have other things, we have other agendas, we have our own ways, our own plans, and we really don't take those things seriously. You know, and Pastor Nancy Dufresne, I was reading some of her material, and she was talking about that, and she said the success of everything that, you know, the pastor wants depends on people being there. And if you don't come, you're taking away from everyone else. It's not even just about you and your stuff. It's that the success of it needs everyone there. You know, if I put together a puzzle and I don't have all the pieces, it doesn't look complete. You know, it's not quite right. Even if it's just one piece, the whole puzzle's junk, isn't it? You know, you're like, what am I going to do with this? It's missing a piece. It doesn't look right. I can't frame it and hang it. It's missing a piece. It doesn't look right. Well, all the parts together make that complete. And so we need to purpose in our heart to hunger after spiritual things. And you might be sitting here and you're like, well, I'm just not there yet. I guess I'm just flesh. But you know what? In verse 9, it says, "But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." What's he saying here? He said, are you saved? You know, how many saved folk do I have in here today? Quite a few of you. And if you didn't raise your hand, we're going to give you an opportunity to change that, because I don't know why you'd want to stay that way. I don't want to stay in the natural. You know, but so he's talking to believers. And he's saying, the Spirit already dwells in you. He's already inside of you, so you don't have to be carnal. You don't have to be in your flesh. It's just a choice. He's already provided the way. If you've accepted Jesus and you've made him the Lord of your life, the Spirit came on the inside, he made you new, and so now he dwells in you. Verse 9, you are not in the flesh. You're not. You're not. So act like it.
That's right.
Right? act like you're not in the flesh. You know, when your spouse comes in and they're not acting real sweet, you can still act sweet. You can still act sweet. Why? Because you're not in the flesh anymore. You don't have to live there anymore because Jesus paid the price to redeem you. You know, that was the state of Adam and Eve when we looked at that. Now all of a sudden they're in the natural. They're in the natural. And God went ahead and clothed them and babied them and took care of them because they're in the natural now. You know, but we should come to a point where we don't want to stay there. We don't want to stay there. I want to see all that God has. All that God has for Family Church, all that God has for this ministry, all that God has for my personal life. I want to see all of it. I don't want that puzzle to get done at the end and I'm like, well, there's a piece missing here and there's a piece missing here. Well, that's because I never laid down those sins that were so easily besetting me. I never wanted to give up watching TV to pray. I never wanted to give up, you know, hanging out with my friends to, you know, spend some time with God. You know, I never wanted to give those things up. And so now when, you know, the end is here, I have all these missing pieces of my puzzle because I never decided to stop being flesh. It's a choice. It's a choice. You don't have to stay the way you are. You don't have to stay where you're at. You know, and I'm so glad for that because when I first came to Family Church, I was a disaster. I was a disaster. You know, I had a completely unrenewed mind. You know, my thinking was horrible on so many different areas. You know, I had no real understanding of God and that He even had a will for my life. You know, just every area needed to be reshaped, remolded, retaught, relearned, you know, and all of that. And so isn't it so good of God that we don't have to stay in that carnal state? You know, I was an alcoholic. I was a partier. I did drugs. Everything, you name it, I was there. You know, and I'm so glad that I didn't have to stay there. There was no like, well, since you did these things and now you're a Christian, you have to wait 6 months until this is over. And you have to wait 8 months until this is over. And then after a year, you can sign a waiver and be free from this. I'm no longer flesh. I'm no longer flesh. I'm all done with that. I don't have to be that way anymore. I don't have to, you know, oh, here comes a cigarette. I don't care. I don't want that. I'm not flesh anymore. I'm not flesh anymore. I have a new man on the inside of me, and I'm going to walk in that. Amen? And so if you're here today and you need that, it's available to you. It's just a choice away. It doesn't have to be a hard thing. It doesn't have to be a hard thing. Let's look at a verse. Sorry, overhead people, I'm skipping around. So unfair to them, but. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. I love this verse because it has so much practical application, and I meditate on this verse all the time. I use it for everything, and then God just spoke to me again and rooted it all up and changed it up on me because He's so good like that. It says, "You therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You know, tests and trials try to come against us. You know, we got to work through it. And, you know, this is my verse. I'm enduring hardness like a good soldier. I can do this. You know, but notice the first word I said, I. I can do this. I can do this. Well, that's wrong. Just in case you're wondering, that's wrong. I can't do this. He can do this. And, you know, God started dealing with me about this verse because I started thinking, I got some, you know, stinking thinking creeping in there, you know, because things got hard. We're, you know, Jesus told us the storms of life are coming. It's not a big surprise when it happens. Things got hard. And so, I started thinking that unless it was super hard, it couldn't be God. And so when something would happen, I'd start questioning it to the point that I'm walking right out of my blessing because I'm like, well, that wasn't hard enough. It must be harder than that. But God's like, I never said it had to be a hard thing. I just said when the storms of life come, keep enduring. When the storms of life come, keep going. But no one ever said it had to be, you know, a hard thing all the time, or it wasn't God. No, you just have to keep going. You just have to keep going. And the other thing that I noticed in this verse is that it says, you know, enduring hardness as a good soldier. Well, many of you know that I was a soldier. I was enlisted in the Army. And, you know, I was thinking about that. And no matter how hard I tried, without compromising my integrity, maiming my body, or something completely, you know, off the Richter scale like that, I could not change the terms of my enlistment. I couldn't beg and cry and plead hard and long enough to change it. I signed up for this amount. This was how long I had. There was no getting out of it. Finish it to the end. That's it. There was no coming out of it. You know, unless I purposely violated my integrity or I purposely hurt myself. Those were the only ways I could just get out of it. Well, God doesn't want us to do that, right? We're not going to violate our integrity to get out of a test and trial. You know, maybe you're in a financial need. It's not a good idea to go to the casino to try to fix that. That's violating your integrity. It's not a good idea to pick up selling drugs on the side to meet that financial need. That's not a good idea. It's not good. Don't do that. That's not enduring hardness. You're trying to do it on your own strength, on your own flesh, on your own might, and that's not right. That's not right. That's not how we're called to do it. And so, you know, God just started dealing with me about that because I started relying on the arms of my flesh. You know, well, if I pray enough, if I seek Him enough, if I get down on my face enough, if I have my house clean enough, if I'm nice enough, if I don't ever miss it, then this trial will end. It doesn't work like that. My job was to stay in faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so my job was to stay in faith. A simple definition of faith is just entirely trusting God. Entirely trusting Him. I'm not going to try to figure it all out on my own. I'm not going to rely on, you know, how strong I am or how right I am or wrong I am or what. I'm done with the me part. I have to fully rely and trust that He is who He says He is. His word is what it says it is. If He said He'll heal you, He'll do it. If He said He'd meet your need, He's going to meet it. If He said He's going to take care of you, He means it. God's not a man that He should lie. He's not a man that we should lie. And sometimes we come from the world where people have, you know, deceived us and they've led us astray and they've, you know, kind of lost that trust. And so we bring that skepticism to God, you know, and we start questioning everything, you know, and does He really want me to succeed? Is this really what He has for me? Does He really want me here? Does He really want me to have a prosperous life? You know, we hear pastor talk about prosperity and stuff, and I know I came from a poverty mentality, and so it was so far-fetched almost at first, you know, like, really? Really? Yes, really, He means it. He means it. You know, the healing message, you know, does God really want you healed? Well, how many of you are running laps through the parking lot and doing all kinds of hard work when you feel sick? What do? Usually hide up in our home, don't want to talk to anyone, don't go nowhere. What are we doing? We're not out there doing the work of the Lord if we're sick. You know, if your body's not working right, if you can't walk or, you know, whatever's going on in your flesh, if it's not working right, we're not fully performing. Right. You know, and I know this, that I've been around people, and you can tell when they start getting into pain or something because their attitudes get really hard. That flesh starts getting really loud. Well, God's not trying to make it harder for us to live in the Spirit. Right. You know what I mean? He's not trying to make it so it's so impossible because He didn't tell us to do anything we weren't capable of. So He's given us all the measures we need to be able to walk in those things. And so it's not His will for us to be sick. It's not His will for us to be broken down. And so when we're enduring hardness, it's not because it was God directed trying to punish you. No. And so we're going to look at that because we have a mis a misinterpreted idea of the tests and trials that come against us. You know, do they build character in us? Absolutely. And we're going to look at that. Turn to, 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at what the trials of our faith do, and why we go through things. Not that God's orchestrating them, but what happens when we go through them? Why are we going through them? How do we get to the other side? 1 Peter 1, verse 7, it says that the trial of your faith, so what's under trial? Is it you personally? No, it's not personal. It's the trial of your faith. What's your faith? Believing entirely upon God. So the tests and trials are coming to see if you really mean it. Do you really believe God? When it gets hot, do you really believe Him? You know, I'm reminded of, when they got thrown into the fiery furnace. You know, I know that just naturally when I think about that, you know, I'm like, oh man, that would be hot. It was so hot that when the soldiers even got near it, they just burned up. You know, and I think, oh man, wow. You know, but the testing of your faith. Do you really believe God's going to deliver you? Because if they would have said, I hope God's for real. I hope He really means it with that, like, superficial hope, like, please, please. They would have burned up too. No, but they knew God's my deliverer. God's my redeemer. He's going to be there. And He was. Jesus was in the midst of the fire with them. And so we see this in this verse. It says, the trial of your faith. So we know trials coming against our faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes. So our faith being tried, because sometimes I read this verse and I just took it like, well, my faith is more precious. Well, yes, my faith is more precious, but that's not what the verse said. It said the trial of my faith is more precious. So the things that I'm going through, that I'm enduring hardness as a good soldier, are more precious than gold. And so gold is pretty precious in our world, you know, but that's just a natural thing again. It's just natural. It comes out of the ground. It's just natural. And God said the spiritual things are more precious than the natural things. And the testing of your faith, seeing if you really believe God, where you're really at with God, is more precious than the natural things. You know, okay, good, you got fed today, wonderful. We all like to eat. I'm glad I get fed every day. It's good that way. But that's just a natural thing. It's not that precious. You know, not when I have a chance to come and hear the word. Not when I have a chance to, you know, fellowship with God and pray and be in His presence and, you know, hear the anointed word that's going to transform my life. That's more precious than anything that this natural world has to offer. And the verse isn't done yet. It says, though it be tried with fire, so there again we know, tests and trials are coming, that we might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so one of the best ways to endure hardness as a good soldier and come to the other side of your test and trial is going to be our praise. So let's go ahead and look at that. God's so good, He left us with all the instruction that we would need to come to the other side of everything. Not one thing do we have to stay in. Not one thing. He's given us all the things we need to come out to the other side of it. So let's go over to James chapter 1. He's going to tell us again how we come to the other side of our tests and trials. I know it gets hard sometimes. I know it does. I know there's times when you just want to cry and give up, but crying doesn't do you any good. It just gives you a headache. It makes your makeup run, makes you a mess. It doesn't do you any good. So don't do it. Let's do what the Word says instead. In James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, my brethren, talking to believers, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And now He's going to tell us why you should count it joy. He's like, I know that sounds weird. I know it's hard, and I'm telling you that you should be glad and happy and yelling and shouting. And He's like, but this is why. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Another word for patience is endurance. And so all these things that come against you, all these things that are, you know, trying to take you out and take you away from God and take you out of your church and take you away from your pastor and all that stuff, because really that's all your tests and trials are trying to do. They're not that personal. They're not really even trying to destroy your life. They're just trying to take you away from your help. They want you to not think the message works, not think the faith message works. So then you leave your pastor and you leave your church and you leave your help, because then there's nothing for you. That's really all it's about. It's not really all that personal. And if you look at all the tests and trials that are coming in your life every time, it's to get you offended at the word. To get you offended at God, to get you offended at your pastors, to get you offended at the local church. And so it's just trying to get you out of your place of help, out of your place of blessing. And so in verse 4, it says, "But let patience," or endurance, "have its perfect work, that you would be perfect and entire, wanting nothing," lacking nothing. Well, I love that part of the verse, because the definition of peace is to be complete, entire, whole, restful, lacking nothing. Amen. That's the definition of peace. And so I want to bring up a verse, because this is going to give us an idea of where we can look in the natural, because sometimes we are just in a carnal state. We've got to grow, we've got to learn, and we need an example to follow. We need to see how this is done. And so if they could bring up Psalm 37 for me. It says, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." I love this verse. Mark the perfect man. That means watch him, regard him, observe him. You know, see how they live, see how they walk, see how they walk out this Christian walk. You know, and if you don't know who you should be watching to see that, you have some wonderful examples in this church. You know, Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie are phenomenal believers. They live what they preach. They walk it out. And the end of them is peace. The end of them is peace. It's so wonderful to be around them, because they emanate, it like radiates off of them, peace. You know, Pastor Katie was teasing me before preaching or whatever, and I was excited about what she was teaching me about, because I was going to get to see her, and I was like, oh, that's okay. She's full of peace. And I love that. I'll take it. You know, and so they're a wonderful example of that. And it says that we should do that. We should mark the perfect man. Mark the leaders of the church. Mark them and watch them and regard them and observe how they live, so that you know how to overcome your tests and trials, so that you can be in peace. Because that word peace in the end, like I said, it means completeness, wholeness, restful, that it's complete and entire. You know, and some of the other definitions of peace are happiness, prosperity, health, safety. Peace is a loaded word. You know, it's a loaded word. There's a lot in that word, and I want all of it. And so I'm going to watch and regard and honor those who are like that, so that I can be like that. Amen. And so if you're facing stuff and you're like, I just don't even know which way to go. I don't know which way is up. I know that I don't want to stay in these tests and trials. I know that I want to overcome them. Well, you've come to the right place. Because they live and walk and breathe the Word of God, and so you can see what the Word of God actually looks like. Amen. You know, I like over there in Hebrews, it talks about what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, evidence means there's something visible. You know, like if you go to a crime scene, they may not know everything that happened, but they can look at the evidence. There's like a remainder of things that, you know, they can see and then figure out what happened from there. Well, that's what faith does. Faith is evident in people's lives. It leaves something behind that you can tell where they came from. You can tell that they've been in the presence of God. You can tell that they've spent time in His Word, and they've let the Word transform them, because now there's evidence of that. There's evidence of that. And so if you're not sure how to get through these tests and trials, if you're not sure where to go from here, You know, maybe you're here and you just got saved and you're like, now what? Now what? Now what do I do? You know, well, this is what you do. You watch those who are, you know, appointed to be the leaders of this church. You watch them and watch the peace in their lives and listen to what they have to say and the guidance they have to say, and it will transform you. It will change things for you. You know, I don't really remember necessarily every moment of the transformation. You know, I can look back and remember and see all the stuff that was. And I remember, you know, at the very beginning hearing a message and I thought, oh dear God, I'm never going to get all this right. Everything in my life is a mess. I don't even know where to start. But it was like, well, what's in your heart? And you pick that one thing and let God work that out. And then you move on to the next thing, and then the next thing. And we just keep doing it until Jesus comes back. Because if you think that that any of us have arrived, we haven't. We're still working on the flesh just like you. But remember, God was good. He's not going to leave us in that state. You know, and so, you know, you just keep going. You just keep going. And whatever God's dealing with you in your heart about, that's what you work on. You know, I'll be honest with you, smoking was not the first thing that God dealt with me about. It wasn't. And it wasn't because it was okay. It wasn't permissible. But there was so much other stuff in the way that God was like, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Don't sweat the small stuff. We're working on some other stuff first. So then when it got to the point that I had to lay that down, it wasn't hard. It wasn't some super big struggle that I had to battle for months and months. God just put it in my heart, and so I knew I could do it. I had his strength. You know, Nehemiah 8, verse 10, like the end of the verse, it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. I had joy about it. I was like, yeah, I'm going to quit smoking. And I wasn't dreading it. I wasn't like, oh, man, I don't want to do that. I was like, okay, yeah, because God's going to carry me through it. I can do this. And all of a sudden, boldness came on me, and I was ready to do it. And you know what? It was just that easy. Yeah. It really was. The hardest part was just telling my flesh no. Yeah. But I didn't have addiction withdrawals. I didn't have any of that mess because I waited on God to help me through that. You know, and so many times we just think of all the, you know, well, I got to quit this. I got to quit that. Yes, you do. You do. You know, it's not good for you. And it's, you know, and if you ask people, they're like, well, I don't want to go to church because I don't want to quit drinking. Well, if that's the only reason for not wanting to come, you already know you shouldn't be doing it. Yes. It's real obvious. You shouldn't be doing it. And you already know that. That's not some big surprise. It's not some big secret. You know, like, you already know it's wrong, or you wouldn't care if you did it and came. Because if it didn't bother you, you'd just come anyway. But obviously, you already know what's wrong. You already know what's wrong. So you start where you're at, you know, and let God work all that stuff out. You know, let him clean you up. You know, and I so appreciate that, because when I first came, Pastor Tim was so gracious with me. You know, I was not sure that I was really saved, and I wasn't really sure that I would ever be holy enough to come to church and all that, because I just didn't know. And so he's like, just give it time. Gotta work all that out. Gotta work all that out. And he did. Amen. He did, you know, and there's still things. I'm still working on things. But those, you know, carnal things that we just think of, like the drinking and the smoking and all that stuff, you know, and really, those are minor. You know, it's all the other stuff, our words and how we treat people and walking in love, that's so much harder and takes so much longer. And God's going to judge us for that first anyway. So really, you know, if you're caught up on those things, if you're caught up on all that, just lay it down. Amen. Just come and hear the word. Let God work it out for you. You don't have to stay in the natural. Amen. You don't have to stay there. You get to walk the life of faith. You know, and it's not about how hard you labored and how much you did. No, it's just how much did you believe on him?
That's right.
How much did you believe on him? Because if you really believed on him, you know that he'd deliver you from that addiction. Because it's a need of healing, isn't it? We just need healing from that. If we're addicted to something, do you really believe he can do it? Well, that's living in faith.
That's, right.
That's nothing you had to do. You just had to believe.
That's right.
And so it's walking those things out and not getting so caught up in how much I can carry on my own. You know, because I'm never going to be able to carry enough to get everything God wants me to get done. I can't. Not physically capable. But I can believe Him to help me through it, to guide me, to order my steps and make my path straight. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Well, I hope you were helped today. Amen. Glory to God. He's so good, not going to leave us in the natural. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad. Well, let's go ahead and pray.